CIOs now have to start playing that role of a storytelling where we bring that technology and humans together, right? And how we need to work together to provide the best case user experience, customer experience, employee experience.
Welcome to Technovation. I'm your host, Peter High. Our broadcast today comes from our most recent MetaStrategy Digital Symposium, and the topic was optimizing workforce composition for digital maturity. The panelists who spoke on this topic were Neelu Sethi, the Global Chief Information Officer of Brinks, and Barry Perkins, the Chief Operating Officer of Zurich North America. The gentleman who led that conversation was MetaStrategy Partner and Central Office Lead, Mike Bertha. I hope you enjoy the conversation. And now for a word from our partner, ASAP, and the company's founder and chief executive officer, Gustavo Sapoznik, whose mission is to build machine learning products to solve some of the world's largest and most difficult problems. Well, Gustavo, take a moment, if you would, and describe ASAP's business.
We have a very, very simple mission. Our mission is to end bad customer service. It doesn't just mean the relatively miserable experience that we tend to have as consumers with the enterprises. It's more broad than that. The problem of customer experience, more broadly defined, can be really thought as a three-legged stool. One leg of the stool is the enterprise itself. Another leg of the stool is the customer. And the third leg of the stool is the agent that works for the enterprise. So what's remarkable about this problem is that all three legs, I can argue perhaps successfully, are very broken. If you are an enterprise, you truly dislike the idea of how much money you have to spend in this domain. So the economic problem for enterprise and how much OPEX this represents is just staggering. For customers, we're all customers of companies, so we understand the frustration. And agents have one of the highest attrition rates of any job type in the world. All of this to say we have this very simple mission of ending bad customer service for all of those constituencies.
And now on to the interview.
Well, as Peter mentioned, we'll be talking today about optimizing workforce composition for digital maturity. So as digital capabilities become more important to our competitive positioning, there has been over the last several years a rethink around the composition of your digital and IT workforce. How many of your workforce should be FTEs? How many should go to a nearshore? How many should remain offshore? So what was once thought of for some organizations as strictly a cost play is now also a play of competition. So to discuss this dynamic, joining me on the virtual stage, first we have Barry Perkins. Barry is the Chief Operating Officer at Zurich North America, where he is responsible for also overseeing the North American Information Technology Group. He's also held various leadership roles within global Zurich Insurance Group, including the CIO of the Farmers Insurance product line. And he started his career as a consultant. So Barry, it's great to see you. And I wanted to welcome you to the virtual stage.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And also joining me is Neelu Sethi. Neelu is the Chief Information Officer at Brinks, the leading global provider of cash and valuables management, digital retail solutions, and ATM managed services. She previously served as the CIO at Ready Ice and also held IT leadership roles at what is now Keurig Dr. Pepper. Good to see you, Neelu.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, Barry, I'm gonna start with you to start chipping away at this topic. And so maybe as you think about this necessity to increase digital maturity, not just at Zurich, but at large, maybe you could start by telling us, how do you think about the shifting of workforce composition at Zurich North America?
Well, thank you, Mike, for the question. So maybe I should give some context to how I'm going to answer this, because I've been listening carefully to the previous speakers and a lot of the context is really relevant. So if you think about Zurich Insurance generally, I mean, we're a $100 billion company, $25 billion of that sits in the organization, part of the organization that I'm running. And we are incredibly cost focused. So if you think of really outsourcing and workforce composition 20 years ago, this is what I inherited in North America, a highly outsourced organization. So just numbers-wise, I mean, we have about 10,000 FTEs working in IT across Zurich globally. and about 2,000 to 3,000 of those work in North America, Zurich, North America. 70% of those FTEs were outsourced, 70%. And 70 to 80% of that was work being done in India. So if I pick up on some of the discussions that we were just having about productivity, agility, the ability to act at pace, these things were non-existent or at least very limited in the context of the way that we were set up, because essentially that's old school. That's the people who are employees are writing the specs and they're shipping them off to an organization, a third party that's in another location thousands of miles away, and overnight the work will get done and you'll see the results in the morning. And that is best case waterfall. So when I think about digital maturity, I think, first of all, there was a lot of discussion about mindset change. So if you have an organization that's focused on cost and not value, then you're going to have a tough time talking about what the premise is to go to digital maturity, because digital and outsourcing are not too easy of bedfellows. So it doesn't mean that you can't talk about cost. You should, and you have to if you're running a business. But what it does mean is you have to differentiate very carefully the areas that you're going to focus on maturing your digital capability. And that means, first of all, defining it. And in some cases, because a lot of the words have been used already, those are fairly obvious that you wouldn't want to outsource that. So the A, B, C, Ds of this issue are AI. We've all mentioned it. It's the sexy word. B for big data. And then when we talk about C for cyber, these are areas where if you talk to your business and you talk in terms of use cases, they would all understand the threat from cyber and you wouldn't want to outsource that. They would all understand big data and they would all understand the promise, at least, of AI. These pieces we have no issue. But the vast majority of people that work in IT within Zurich are actually developers. And so when we talk about development, that's the piece that you really need to pick up the pace on, because the other areas are relatively small from an FTE standpoint, but the vast majority need to be really driven in terms of maturity from a development standpoint. So maybe my predecessor speaker would be happy to hear that.
Yeah, that's great. And Barry, and if you don't mind, I might stay with you for a second. By the way, I love the ABCD there. It's a very, very nice acronym. And it's funny, as you talk, we often talk about in technology about technical debt, but in some cases there could be workforce debt that needs to be, unwound as you modernize and move faster and more succinctly towards digital maturity. So what are some of the things, if we were going to coin the term workforce debt, what are the things that you might be trying to unwind in your organization as you shift from that 70% potentially to a little less outsourced work? What types of the things would you be trying to resolve in doing that?
Sure. I think this is to do with how we do the work that we do. And if you think about an outsourced organization, the frontline managers really see themselves as supplier managers. They don't see themselves as the people that have to say, what should we do? How much should it cost? How long should it take? And how quickly can we get it done? So this legacy thinking around supplier management versus, hey, I actually do the work. I have to recruit the people to get the work done. And I have to actually know how to do it. This is the biggest shift of all. So I think when we think about that in terms of roles, we're looking at, okay, project managers should be more than supplier managers. So they should be much more knowledgeable individuals. Architects should not be outsourced, because that's how we get to say how we get it done and how long it should take. And then we think about business analysts. When we think about agility, you cannot really easily have agility if you're having a conversation thousands of miles away in different time zones. It can be done. It can be done with newer technologies, but it's much easier if it's side by side. Now, if we're talking about where we would apply that, the customer-facing systems, the systems that really make a difference in sales and pricing, that for us would be where we would major on those different skill sets.
Wow, nicely said, Barry. And so Neely, I'm going to come to you now. And kind of some of the implications of what Barry is sharing is a shift is that you may have a CFO counterpart that has grown accustomed to a certain cost profile. And regardless of the validity of increasing performance, increasing digital maturity, they can't help but notice the shift in cost. And so Neelu, when we were speaking, we discussed that dynamic and you mentioned it really has to be about storytelling though. And how do you position the workforce composition shift? And so maybe could you talk a little bit about the importance of storytelling and framing initiatives like this, such as a workforce composition shift?
Absolutely, Mike. So, you know, if I go back to some of the themes that I was just listening to from the previous panelist, and I'm just going to weave in the story tied to that. You know, we know that there is no question about that digital disruption can elevate the businesses now, right? So that question is gone. No one is questioning that should IT be the hub and should be the center of every business decision-making or not, right? The second known fact is that any transformation of any sort is less about technology and it is more about people. We talk quite a bit about change management around it, right? And the third known fact is since pandemic, the flex scheduling is the norm, right? So distributed and flex people, right? So how do you start to leverage these three known facts and start to weave in the story? The problem in my mind is we now need a talent that can keep pace with the continuous technology innovation that's happening. We talked about whether it's A, B, C, D, or, you know, from AI, from, you know, all possible new autonomous technology that is coming in. The other problem that we are facing is we are investing heavily in technology, in new business models, new R&D. There was just a dialogue about that, but very small percent of them are we are investing in talent. I think there was one poll that I saw, 1% out of 34 people said they're investing in talent. Everyone else said we are investing in technology. So when you start to think about all of this, these are the problems, right? Barry touched upon the leadership thinking. I think earlier Dell leader as well talked about, we need a different new leadership thinking now. So CIOs now have to start playing that role of a storytelling where we bring that technology and humans together, right? And how we need to work together to provide the best case user experience, customer experience, employee experience we talked about. So one of the key biggest thing that I'm really focused on from the philosophy of, I call it APT, align people, process, and technology. We all hear about people, process, and technology, but we forget the word align in front of it. So unless we really align people, process, and technology, we will not win, which means we have to find a way to accelerate on spending energy on the talent. So one of the biggest thing we are doing in Brinks is we are calling it, we're building technical fabric of the future. And that is where we are investing heavily on the digital blueprint, just the nature of the beast. And, you know, I know every other organization is doing it, but along with it, we have a talent philosophy is also shifting alongside. And that's the component where the story that I'm weaving with the organization is not just a lopsided story of the technology, not just a lopsided story of a digital transformation, not just a lopsided story of a digital optimization. Talent alignments and the people alignment is happening along the side. I'm very proud Brinks, one of the core pillar is talent, along with data-driven decision-making, along with technology at the hub. And that can only happen, it starts with the culture aspect of it, right? Which everyone talked about. But we as the CIOs are the biggest enablers of that culture. Barry, it was astounding to hear the thousands of employees that you have. If you don't transform the culture and being the glue of the organization, then who would, right? And I think that's what I call CIOs are the glue of the organization. We get to see every function, every department, and we get to see the good, bad, ugly. So we have to wear that cultural hat, which means we have to wear the hat of weaving the talent story of the organization. I am extremely focused on reminding and bringing customer, not only customer experience, but employee experience on the top of mind. I'm very focused on finding those hidden gems within our workforce by enhancing the communication, making sure that, you know, we are saying what we are doing, why we are doing, and why technology fabric of the future is going to make a difference. And then there are so many hands that are beginning to raise up with the upskilling and cross-skilling mindset. And I'm beginning to partner with other C-suite members. And I think the hurdle that I also heard is people talked about, yeah, that's all sounds great, and but we don't have investment. So as CIOs, we also know that where have we spent money? Maybe we have bought a Rolls Royce and I just needed a regular car. So am I spending money on the shiny objects, and how do I take out that money and investment and invest back into the talent, right? So it's in our hands to be able to think about not only investment on the technology debt that everyone has, right, and we need to enhance on, but make sure that investment is going back to the talent component of it and showing the art of possible by motivating the workforce and people raising their hand. Because everything that we just heard from Codium and Varun that talked about, that layer, the IT layer has to shift. And just simply by investing in a technology by itself or by digitizing the process by itself, we will not get there. So it's more than the numbers in my mind. It's all about storytelling. It's all about storytelling, not just to C-suite or the board, but it's also a storytelling to our people. And make sure that they understand the why and they are raising their hands and we are finding those hidden gems. And then we are helping and nurturing through the leadership that is needed, a leadership of now versus leadership of the past, right? And when it's the leadership of now, is all about bringing hearts and minds together and a very different, we heard mindset and skill set over tool set. I mean, there were so many nuggets that were happening just through the prior panelists that speaks about each one of us need to have that fire in the belly. Each one of us wear that storytelling capability and the emotional capability. And each one of us have to be really thinking about aligning talent along with process and technology and not just lopsidedness. It's a three-legged stool and one leg cannot be weaker than the other two.
That's great, Neela. So aligning people, process, and technology is the key here to winning the hearts and minds. Two good acronyms so far. So I hope everyone else is paying as close attention as you are, Neela. There'll be a test at the end. So can we go ahead and bring up the poll results for the last poll question? What do you see as the biggest benefit to AI, generative AI adoption? Pretty clear winner here of increasing productivity, with 67% of respondents weighing in there, and then also improved products and services. Very good. So transitioning a little bit, same topic, a little bit of different angle here. So you've mentioned there are certain roles that are maybe more likely to shift than others. You mentioned architecture, for example, or business analyst, for example, to really drive those, you know, why and how questions a little closer to home, perhaps. So those would be roles that shifted more. But even as you determined which roles should shift, as you think about capabilities such as knowledge management or common ways of working, when you get into the execution mindset, what are those sort of cross-cutting capabilities that you really need to think about as as you mentioned, people are shifting from being just supplier managers to, you know, more, you know, being involved in the execution and planning. So maybe if you could talk about some of the key capabilities that cut across that will be necessary to invest in these shifts.
Yeah, when I look at that, you know, the real challenge that we have when we make this change and the capability we need to change, we talked about mindset. What I always find, because I love in my career, I love to go 4 years here, 4 years, always with Zurich, but in different locations. And what I see is when I first turn up to a location, I love to be the one that's beamed in from Mars and doesn't see what people are used to doing, but sees how it actually is. And so the biggest challenge from a capability standpoint is really the process that everyone's been comfortable with and the mindset that people have, and they take for granted the way we do business today. So it's no one particular role, I think, or capability. It's what's in people's heads about what's acceptable in the way that we work. And so the biggest challenge I see in the capability we have to shift, and maybe this is what Nilu, you were talking about, is our own people, no matter what capability they have today, they have to see what the future looks like. Because 99 out of 100 people will be able to tell you what we do today. If you ask them to define their job, they'll give you a fantastic description of what they do today. But one person out of 100 will be able to tell you what that will look like in 3 years if we achieve what we need to achieve. Yeah. So I think it's across the board. It's not just the supplier managers, by the way. It's all the people all the way down the line who have gotten used to in this process, their part in the play that brings this to the stage for our business. So I don't know if that, Mike, answers your question, because I don't think it's an individual capability. I think it's the overall process and the mindset.
Certainly. I think that makes sense, Barry. Mindset before even execution. So maybe going over to you, Nilu, a similar question around a shifting workforce composition is, as you do this, you're naturally going to have some work changing hands through a combination of FTE, nearshore and offshore, and you may end up with, you know, more external partners. And it's one thing to draw up, you know, what it should look like, and then another to do it. And especially, both of you have mentioned the importance of culture to operate in whatever the model that is for your company. So could you talk a little bit about how do you build that strong culture, recognizing that a lot of the people are going to be external to your organization, at least their badge or the entity they're associated with?
Absolutely, Mike. So what I would start with, you cannot whistle a symphony. It takes an orchestra to play it. And in my orchestra, it's the ecosystem of all the partners that come with it, right? So I feel like there is no way I can achieve what I need to achieve, because the talent shortage is real, right? So how do I start to bring a three-legged stool of an ecosystem from the co-partners, where I have a strategic partner, I have execution partner, right? And I also have entrepreneurs who are always thinking about something new, right? And because that keeps me fresh and keeps my organization fresh. And you always need to be thinking 6 months, if not a year or two or three, ahead of the rest of the organization, right? So I always bring a three-legged stool as part of this. But the cultural aspect, all the things that Barry and other panelists were touching on, when I work with the partners, those softer skills that we talked about, the fire in the belly, the business mindset, the business leaders first and technical leader second, the customer mindset, the experience mindset, the process mindset are the first and foremost ask that I have. You know, anyone that I bring in, my always ask is hire for the attitude, hire for the emotional intelligence. And the competency is given, right? The technical capability is given, that's table stake. But whenever I'm interviewing, whether it's the partners and I'm talking to them, if that connection does not happen at the EQ level, and I don't see that the partners are coming in where they are going to wear Brinks badge on their sleeves, and they're going to bleed blue, Brinks blue with me, I am not going to partner with them. So it's extremely important. And partners know that that's how Nilu is going to really either kick them out or bring them in, right? I at the end of the day, do not care what three-letter, 10-letter company they are part of. What I care is when they walk into Brinks building, they bleed blue with me. They think about business first. They think about my customers first, because that's exactly what I demand from all of my employees. And that's exactly what I demand from my partners. When I'm in the room with them, with my employees, with my partners in the room and my business in the room, my business should never be able to tell who is a partner or a vendor and who is an IT employee. That's what great looks like in my eyes. And I demand that. And I do that by bringing partners. They're listening to my business prioritization meetings. They're part of the governance. They're part of the town hall. They're part of the hurdles. They're part of everything we do, and there is no differentiation. And there has been times in my past life where the partners or the people on site, they have worked with me for 6, 7, 8 years in continuum as a result of that. So, it's the retention, it's the motivation, it's the inspiration applies no matter how you touch, and leadership at every level is what I demand. So I think those becomes a very critical aspect for me as a talent strategy. I cannot keep up with the talent unless